Welcome to Hot Breath Comedy Fam. On Monday, May 13th, I am teaching a clean comedy workshop. The last four I have taught sold out very quickly. So if you want to learn about clean comedy, the business side, where the line is, how to write clean comedy, go to the link in the description of this episode and we'll see you there.
This has been the wildest interview
we've ever done. We're supposed to talk about comedy.
I know.
He went into the background.
Every time I ask about comedy.
He tried to do a Jedi mind trick and it went on himself.
I feel high right now.
I
feel it too, man.
You feel that feeling? I feel like we're just on a cloud and we have not smoked nothing.
Oh my gosh. You described it perfectly, actually.
This is the best interview I've ever had in my life. This is one of the best interviews. One of, not the.
Hot breath.
Hey. What's up, Hot Breathiverse? Howdy do. Welcome back. This is I, your host, comedian Joel Byers. And you know what time it is. Hot breath. If this is your first time listening, yes, that is how we start every Hot Breath episode, right here, all 166 or 67 of them. This is the Hot Breath Podcast, your weekly guide to comedy mastery. Every week, we are on here dropping dimes of interviews with dimes of comedians, all right? So you can check us out on Spotify and YouTube and iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you're listening to this, and you can see the lineup we have. And this guest today, my hot brethren and sistren, if you're tuning in just for today's guest, we all appreciate having you aboard. We hope you enjoy the interview and will then decide to go and check out the 166 other interviews we've done with some of comedy's top comics. So you're in for a treat with this one. I've been a fan of this gentleman for several years, and I have not heard an interview like this with him before. Am I biased? Yes, because I spend hours researching my guests, and in looking at the interviews, I feel like this is really going to be a special one. This was a fun challenge of an interview as well. No, it's so cool to sit down with such a talented performer and actor. I guess an actor is a performer. Just a talented person. And to hear their experience from being in multi-million dollar Hollywood movies to now paving their own path and really doing their own thing and creating their own success. And it was a challenging interview. You'll be able to hear it in the interview. But this is the first interview I think I learned to just ask, what are you trying to get out of your guest? Okay, just straight up ask them. So I learned a lot just from even doing this interview. I think you'll learn a lot, not only from our rapport we have with each other, but also some insightful information and tips about our guest and fun stories he has to share, to say the least. But the video will be on YouTube if you'd like to check it out in its entirety and the visual aspect of it as well. But all I want to say for the rest of this intro before we get into the interview is that if you do enjoy it, you do enjoy this interview, just let people know. Most importantly, not only reaching out to your comedy fans, your fellow comedians, or you know people that know that love comedy or love today's guest, but also reach out to the guest himself. Reach out to Mr. Jackson, and let him know how awesome his episode was on here. He doesn't do many interviews, and what you're going to hear at the beginning of this is us talking about something that just happened. We did this interview at Atlanta Comedy Theater, and after one of his shows, and he gets just kind of blindsided by TMZ. And TMZ is asking him a bunch of different questions. And the guy just like appeared out of nowhere. So it was really a bizarre occurrence. We're about to do the interview and then TMZ just rolls up and really kind of bombards him for a couple minutes. So that was interesting to see the behind the scenes of TMZ and just how they roll. So I hope you enjoy this interview. Definitely iTunes reviews go a long way, as you hear on other podcasts. But in all honesty, we're building a comedy network here. So if you want to support the quality content we're providing, just telling someone else is the easiest and most effective way to do that. So all that being said, we're making history here today, hot brother and sister. And I have some exciting news in the outro to hang out and listen to really quick. But now, let's get to the main event. So there's only one thing left to do. And that is inhale a hot breath.
Oh my God. Oh my
with
God.
Brandon T.
I don't know,
Jackson.
Man. That was crazy.
That is wild. Yeah, we're good. And there's some water for you too, buddy, if you get thirsty. It's our hot breath water. That's my gift to you.
That is hilarious.
Because it's all on brand. So thanks for doing this, man.
Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, this is hot breath. That's why it says it on the water.
No, I love it. It's hilarious.
But
something more lighter.
A little
than
lighter?
the last interview
that just happened.
Just happened.
You just got here. Ambushed by TMZ.
Just got ambushed by ZMT.
ZMT?
As I put in my films. I like make fun of them. I put ZMT. When I write my movies, I put ZMT. So they can't get me.
What? Does that happen to you a lot?
No. I mean, not with like deep questions of like social, political
stuff.
I'm like, you know, me, I'm a real dude. I'm going to say what I feel. But at the same time, it's like, hey, to ask me about what I got on.
Yeah.
He went so deep. Like, what do you believe about? I'm like, yo, this is too political for me right now.
You should plug the Kingdom gear.
I know.
Let them know it's out there.
Yes. Shout out to the gear. We're getting it done, man. We it's been a long journey. Actually, 2 years. Isn't that long? We're getting it done, though. The Kingdom over everything. Actually, it's Kingdom clothing right here.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, we should be dressed like who we are and everything. So I just feel like, you know, just one of those things. I like to be different, too.
Uh-huh.
I don't like to look like anybody else. I like to look different from everybody else. I like to have my own style. Like, every time people jock my style, kind of switch it up and everything.
So people were jocking the leather, and then you had to switch it up.
Switch it up. I was leather king.
Uh-huh.
I used to have leather condoms.
I
was the leather king back in the day.
Now you got gear. I mean, the Kingdom. Well, that seems to be the whole, the Kingdom clothing and the Kingdom cafe.
Oh, for everything.
As well.
Yes. You did your research.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, we found a way to make. I can't say. Yeah, but we got some good brew for you. I can let you try some of our brew.
Yeah.
It's not coffee. It's brew.
Is that the discrepancy?
Well, yeah, we'd make sure you know that it's not coffee. It's brew. It's the best brew in the world. No crash. Nothing. Twice the energy of coffee.
That's legal?
Oh yeah, it's very legal. it's very legal. Our secret ingredient. Yeah, it's good though.
It's so crazy to see like the arc in your career.
Yeah, like me going from the booty sweat guy to Kingdom of Everything, right?
Yeah, man.
But if you study the tree and the branches I'm from and the seeds that I'm from, it makes all sense.
Yeah. Well, even your dad has a clothing store, doesn't he?
Back in like 99, so I guess I'm repeating history. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It was it's funny even because he was a pastor. Your grandfather was also
pastor,
and
with 27 generations of Levitical priest, I should say.
So is that what you're getting into more now?
No, I'm into who I am. It's not, I don't have to get into nothing that's in my blood. It's like you look at certain people like Steph Curry. You look at Steph Curry. He's a ball player. His father was a ball. It's in your blood. It's like a code. You know. DNA is your coding, is what it is, you know?
Mm.
We served, my family, we served the father of generations and generations. You know, I was the first one to go to Hollywood and kind of make a career, you know? But at the same time, you always going to come back to who you are, you know?
So is Mr. Booty Sweat, was that part of who you were?
Back then. But it's a journey. You can't get mad at it. You have the journey. It was good. We had good times back then, you know?
Of course.
So, you know, it was part of the journey, definitely.
Man, I bet.
It's like Muhammad Ali. Look at Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
He was Cassius Clay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when he got enlightened in his faith, he became Muhammad Ali, which I will say made his story even greater. If he was always Cassius Clay, I don't think he would even made, you know, a rumble. It's part of people's story. The enlightenment side of it is always part of people's story. So,
yeah, and part of your story is you were in the machine. You were head first all the way in the machine.
Kind of like Moses.
So, like, well, I because in researching you, it's you didn't really go into too much detail about that point in your life. It was more just like, here's some cool stories. But like, one thing I heard you mention is in Big Mama's house, you wore the dress.
Yeah, I hated it.
And you said like after that, it was like 5 years of hell.
Seven years of hell. Well, five-ish, but about seven.
So what, go into more detail on that. What was that hell?
Well, for me, it was just my whole life just came crashing down, you know? It was just, I don't know, it was just stuff. Everything happened bad for me. It's like, people call it a string of bad luck, but, you know, I don't believe in the coincidences. So I think if the Father was trying to chastise me and show me, you know, where I need to be at, you know, for his purpose in my life, so.
So that, like, there weren't any more jobs after that, or?
No, it was bigger than, forget the jobs. They was actually offering me things and different stuff. I couldn't even, you know, it wasn't even, my whole state of being wasn't at peace. You know, it wasn't even about the jobs. It was about your everyday life. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Going to the store if something bad has this, like, it was like a string. Like, people say string of bad luck, the best way I can say in the language of Gentiles. The best way I can say it is a string of bad luck.
So how low did it get?
Pretty low.
What was the rock bottom?
Read Job. It wasn't that bad. Yeah, man. It's in me, man. It's in me. It's who I am. I can't deny it. You know, I was talking to him, the guy out there. He said he just, you know, some people feel like that's what they are. You know, like, you know, you can't tell a person who's, who is, say, for example, this lady on the news, she says she feels like she's a black woman inside. I mean, that's what she feels. That's what she connects to, you know. It's, you know, for me, I can't speak or judge her. I can say that, for me, I know what I feel inside and what compels me, you know? Yeah.
And what is that?
The word of the living God, of Yahuwah Elohim, and that's just who I am. You know, it's who I am. Why fight it? Mm-hmm. You know?
Is that within all of us? And a lot of us just suppress it?
It's up to you. Everyone's journey is their journey. You see what I'm saying? Everyone's journey is their journey. So I can't put my journey on you. You can't put your journey on me. You have your own story. So, you know.
Yeah, and you like to differentiate like your path from like church or religion.
Yeah.
Like there's it's my a culture. Big difference.
Big difference.
So is that gets lost in
I think the Bible culture? Is real. I think the religions are fake. That's what I feel.
What is I don't
Cuz these are just records that, that were taken by organization. You don't need to it's like if I take hip hop and I make it a religion to put Jay-Z on the cross. You know what I mean? You know, it's like that was a culture of people that did things. You know, you take the culture of people that did things and then you make it a religion for, you know, money and fame. And you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You could take any story and say, hey, if you want to hear the story, come see it here, you know? So
it's kind of like each religion is almost its own remix of the same story.
Well, I'm not here to speak on every religion. I'm just saying from a perspective of what I know, it was a culture of people. The story is about a certain people who went through certain things, and that was a story. Now, and if I take these scrolls and I put them together, and I go and say, "Hey guys, if you want to hear these scrolls, come pay this building," you know.
So, how has this affected like your stand-up?
Nothing. I'm hilarious. It actually made me funnier.
That's what I meant, like your material or how you're.
Well, I don't get too deep into this with my material, but I do represent who I am as a person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you.
Yeah. As a person, what I mean by as my everyday experiences in life.
You know, right.
You're not supposed to be overly much righteous where you can't have experiences of life. We have experiences.
Right. Yeah.
At my point of view, but then I also have experiences. I go through everything everyone else goes through pretty for the most part. You know, we go through relationships, good and bad, you know, just life. Life's a story, you know?
Yeah, but it seems like you have this comedy side and then this whole other almost side.
It's all the same person.
Building up, yeah.
It's all the same person. It's layers, you know what I mean? It's like you just be who you are. That's the thing when people don't understand. When you who you are is just be it. You don't have to like try and be like, yeah, I don't have to try to be something that I'm not. I didn't choose this. This path chose me.
Yeah, I think, especially with comedians, we can almost get so caught up in the single dimension of being a comedian that we forget to become, that we're a three-dimensional.
Yeah, Eddie Griffin does it, too. Eddie Griffin speaks a lot of truth on stage, but he does it in a funny way. So, you know, does the things, you know, his truth that he sees is true. He speaks it. It's nothing wrong. That's why I was telling the guy out there, everyone has an opportunity to speak what they want.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. Every human has a sovereign will. You know, you have your will to do what you want. So I'm not here to speak for your will. And that's all of a sudden a guy out there, you know, and that's just the difference, you know.
Everybody has a right, at least.
Yeah, for choice.
Yeah.
So for me, I speak from a place where it's true to me. You see?
So, like, Trump, for instance, you did Trump material tonight.
Yeah.
So it's like, so I guess that's an extreme example of somebody
speaking. Not as make fun. I make fun of everybody. I make fun of Trump, Obama, everybody. It doesn't matter. I'm not a Democrat or Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, I can make fun of everybody.
Did he go to your dad's church?
Yeah, he did go to my dad's church, yeah.
And your dad spoke at his inauguration?
Yeah, he did. My dad spoke at his inauguration, yeah.
How does that?
My dad's career as it pertains to what he's doing is something you got to ask him about. I personally I had my thoughts on it. You know, what was this for? What was the intentions of it? Why did he come here? You know, I don't know. You know, that's my dad's career. Like, my dad can ask me about my jokes. I can ask him why he felt compelled to do that. But I have my thoughts on it, you know?
And what are those?
Well, my thoughts are just like, it's like, you know, what's someone's intention? Mm-hmm. Are you doing this to get photo ops with black people, or are you really trying to help a community?
Right.
So, yeah.
And he probably thinks he's just the photo ops?
Well, he hasn't done nothing. I don't see him really done anything for our people, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see that, so... Only time will tell. I can't say he's not, but he hasn't done anything. So my thoughts stand true at this point.
It seems like with how the world, and I've heard you talk about this on stage too, like it almost looks like the world is ending. So it seems like the world almost needs comedy more than ever now.
Not any truth more than ever.
Truth more than ever.
Comedy is okay. Just a placebo effect. It's like the Titanic. They be playing when the ship go down.
Right, right. Comedians are up there just on their soapbox when the ship is going down.
I'm chilling. That's what it is. Steve Harvey playing when the ship going. He like cool in the game would have been like, sorry. Shout out to Steve Harvey.
Good.
Shout out to Steve Harvey. I love that joke. He's like, they play with the ship when the shit went down. Sorry.
What black band?
Dude. Well, yeah, sorry.
And he gets
why
on like the stool. He like has the say what?
Blue.
It's in focus.
Oh.
So it shows when peak focus. It won't show up on the actual.
This won't be
video.
Blue though when you.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's just the display for anybody who's behind the camera.
Do you keep all this raw footage? Are you just editor? No?
Keep all. It'll cut in and out.
I'm talking about. Okay, got you. Nice.
But that the.
How
blue,
many listeners do you have?
I get about 1,500 a week.
Nice. So. Shout out to all the listeners.
Oh yeah, shout out. It's really it's a comedy mastery podcast. So it's more about interviewing comedians about the craft of comedy and their
process.
Yeah,
we went off into political and which is I'm fine with it. It just keeps it's not like I'm you know, I'm not mad about it. It's just like my comedy is my comedy.
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts are my thoughts and I pull my everyday experiences in my comedy as you see. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And even to get into your creative side a little bit more because it's well, it's just interesting, you being like this prodigy, in a sense of it, it's 16, you're in church doing Chris Rock jokes.
Uh-huh.
And then by like, is it 19?
Yep.
Where you
I
do
was
like
out
a,
in Hollywood.
You did a 3-minute set at Laugh Factory, yep. And then like 20-something movies later. Like what was that set, or like who saw you, or what was that moment?
It was just one of those moments.
Yeah.
That's why I know, I always felt like I had something else pulling me, you know? So I think it was part of the story, you know what I mean? It had to happen. No one else has done that since.
It's meteoric.
It's like, you know, but and then the reason why I feel like it's not there, now I'm at the next phase in my life.
Right.
You know, I think I'm at a place in my life where I'm doing things more meaningful for the world and society. So I'm not going to just put anything out there, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like people want to put junk on everything, you know, or open up the hole more. Instead of patching it up, you know what I'm saying? So I'm a patcher upper.
is that a word?
It's not a word.
The patcher upper. So what happened that night?
I'm a stuff maker upper.
Was there an agent in the audience?
Yeah, it was an agent from CAA.
Oh snap! Big boys.
The big boys.
Yeah.
It's actually a female, and she was her name was Elena DeCoste, and
okay.
She brought me to there and signed me. They signed me.
Yeah, I saw. Well, I saw you're with Tamara now.
Yes.
Yeah, she's been on here. She's been on here as well. I interviewed her when we were out in LA. And you getting into really Tropic Thunder, I had two things I just wanted to touch on with it. The first, you working with Robert Downey Jr. in blackface as a method actor.
That movie would not have worked now. Sadly, that movie would not have worked now. It's so racist. Back then, that movie was, I mean, still funny, but I'm saying back then it was not. Like now, with Trump in office, if he was to do that right now, that just shows you how polarizing.
Oh, yeah, man.
Things go so quickly, man. Yeah, that movie, it was a great, great experience, but that movie would not work right now. I'll tell you that right now.
But did you ever get offended or like, I mean, you're just saying like a white guy in blackface.
You know, like, it's so
real?
Funny because I did grow up thinking that we were all equal, you know. So for me, it wasn't offensive. I thought it was just like fun. But then I did the history of blackface. I was like, wait a minute. You know, this is offense. I was 22 under that film. You weren't thinking about race. Kids don't see race like that, you know. They don't see different nations like that. I guess when you get older, you get programmed
right to
start to see nations in a certain way. And I do believe every nation is different. Every nation has their greatness to it. But at the time, I wasn't seeing it. And I was trying to have fun, you know. So, but I started doing history, and I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean, you people? You know what I mean? So that's where that line came from. I started to kind of like, he's like, huh, what do you mean, you people? Like, what do you mean? That line was like an improv, that, you know.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, it was a blessing.
And he was just walking around set like that, right?
He
like never
kept
broke
going.
Character.
Kept going. He kept going. It's ridiculous.
What about being under the helm of Ben Stiller? Like, what was that experience?
Great learning
like?
Experience.
Yeah, what did you
that
learn?
That was all
from
my
that?
College. I think that was a college.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great college for me. So I learned a lot from Ben. And I told Ben, I was like, Ben, I learned so much from you. He was looking at me like scared, like, oops. I hope I didn't teach this Negro. Let me stop. Hope I didn't teach him too much. I never forget the face he had. Like, Ben, I learned so much from you. He was like, yeah, great.
Is that just how he is? Like, he's just
he cool. I'm just being stupid. But he was just kind of looking at me like, you know, did you? I think he was just stressed. It was a $90 million movie.
Right.
You got explosions going on, Tom Cruise, and you know what I mean? I'm just being stupid. I'm having hot breath.
Hey, we out here.
Shout out.
Fontus Water.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the sponsor.
They're really? How you doing?
Blue Mountain Spring Water.
That's good.
Hey.
Gives you a hot breath, one breath at a time.
So what did you specifically learn from him, from Ben?
Just, I mean, he's great. Filmmaking. He's a filmmaker. Ben's a filmmaker. People don't know that. They look at him as an actor. He's a filmmaker. He's a content creator. Very hard to do.
So any, like, specifics about, like, his work ethic or
his work ethic is amazing.
Discipline.
It's unreal.
Or?
It's unreal.
But you're on a $90 million movie. Like, this isn't Roll Bounce, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is...
I mean, that was a tough movie, too, believe it or not.
No, I mean,
been on roller skates, but...
But $90 million, like, you're looking at blockbuster film. Most people on the planet don't even get to be on set for something like that.
Yeah.
So, even,
there was a lot of blockbuster films back then. Yeah, it was a good, great ride, man. I'm starting to learn that you could do more with less too. You don't need 90 million to do 90 million quality movies. You just need a great writer, great producer that's humble and want to make films. So the 90 million is like the hype, like $90 million comedy. Yeah. And that was big back then. Nowadays, I mean, I guess, well, no, it's $90 million comedy still don't exist, actually. Now that I think about it, it still doesn't exist. So yeah, good times.
From all these movies you were in and a part of, and now you have your own production company and you're creating your own content. What were lessons you learned from working on all those movies that you carry over into your own personal endeavors now?
Just work ethic. Shoot what you know. At this point, you know, I guess you got to shoot what you want to write. We're able to tell stories that's true to us, and that's what being in everyone else's, I would say, movies or what they envision helped me go, okay, now let me envision what I see. So, yeah.
And how do you find out what you know? Like, shoot what you know. How do
I guess,
you discover
you know,
that?
It's like creative writing. They say, write down, you know, what you like. You're creative, do creative writing class. Okay. They just tell you to write. What's on your mind? Just express yourself.
So is that how your writing starts? Is you almost like free write?
For me, it writes with the subject that I know. You know, so for me, I just write, from what I project, what I know. Like, things I've been through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or it comes from just imagining, like, you know, like you can tell Get Out came from the mind of Key and Peele, that whole mindset of, like, of like the way they think is their perspective. That's what they call it in comedy, perspective, of course, you know, on life, and you just project it, you know?
But to actually make it your own personal thoughts, make it universal to where it will kind of...
Well, I mean, that's based off of, you know, whatever your genre, your relatability, but you learn it already. We know that. Everyone knows that you got to be relatable to certain people. Sometimes you don't. I think Tropic Thunder was kind of real far left, and I think it was great. It was written well. So people enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's almost... It can be absurd, but it's got to have, like, the
it's
heart.
All how you say something.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Can you go into more detail on that?
No, it's anything. You can say...
No,
it's easy.
Like how you said
I love
that.
You, man. I love you.
Yeah.
You'll be happy or something. Man, I love you. Man, look, bro. I love you, man. Hey, I'm about to kill you, because I kill you. I want to kill you, but with the vibe of I want to kill you, but I love you. People are like, man, why are you so mad?
Because
I am mad. I'm because I love... But if you say, hey, man, you know what? I love you like a brother, man. People, it's just how you say things. It's called, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's called understand. Like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just the way you express yourself, you know, the energy behind it.
Yeah, because I've noticed on stage that how you say something can be the difference between a laugh and a gnaw.
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
And that probably plays into finding your voice on stage as well and what's true to you.
How you talk.
Mm-hmm.
How you speak, how you inflect certain things, it's all communication.
Are there certain techniques you've developed where you found, oh, that helps brings joke more to life? Or
that's all about being on stage and doing that time,
So what are some of those techniques you found?
For me, you know, I found it just, I mean, I can't really even say it. I just, it's like a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a feeling, so I can't really even say what I do. I just kind of project and feel what I'm saying.
And when you say project, does that mean like you're actually visualizing what you're talking about?
You can visualize, you can say it a certain way, projecting your voice a certain way, yeah.
Because what I noticed with yours also is the amount of act outs you can do. And act out
is fun.
And very effective.
You're playing a movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I love your commitment to it though. Like I can't remember the one you did tonight.
Donut?
Is it the donut where you like go until people are kind of like, what? And then you keep going and it brings them all back around. Like,
oh,
totally. You just kept committing to it. And it was like, ha ha. And they're like, oh, he's still going. And then like, you still going.
Was it donut?
Brought it. I feel like it was donut.
Yeah. I like to tell stories. I do character work. A lot of people don't do character work these days on stage. It's hard to do.
It's hard.
With ADD crowds, it's hard to do.
He's dying from ADD.
I did it.
Because I had Ari Spears on here breaking down impersonations, and he talks about like he has like a musical approach to how he does impersonations. What is your approach to impersonations, or just like developing characters in general?
Just taking real life and taking what they do and just act it out. Just take what they do and just take the references and just do it. It's not really a science to it.
So, like, specific things they do? Or, like, are there personality
cues you pick
up? It's
like a picture. If you draw a picture of somebody, that's it. Draw a picture, you look at them and go, okay, that is your impression of someone. That's what impression means.
Right.
My impression of this person, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I saw you did an interview where they wanted you to do some impression. You're like, no, I haven't studied that one. So it was like some random, it may have been like Terry Bradshaw. It was something random.
Yeah.
And you're like, I haven't studied that one. And I was like, oh, I wonder how he studies people.
Just look at him. Watch him.
Just look at him.
What they do, you know, watch how they move. That's it.
You make it sound so easy.
Like you're studying me now.
I'm just studying you. I'm like trying to get as much information out of you as possible.
Uh-huh. CIA, this is the CIA.
It's difficult.
This is the CIA interview.
Well, it's all the process, you know.
Yeah.
But I did interview. You familiar with 85 South Show?
Of course.
Chad Oubre, the producer of the show, I interviewed him, and on YouTube, so many of the comments are like, "Oh, white boy trying to steal the black man's magic," and like all this stuff.
Oh.
Because I do ask super in-depth questions.
Yeah.
But it's all for learning. It's not like to exploit someone or to. I mean, one of my
favorite. They're probably looking at the Native Americans, like, you know, and the Pilgrims. I mean, how do you guys do this?
I mean, I know I look like the white devil, but it's.
I didn't say that. You said that. I didn't say that, guys.
But I'm all about just learning from as many people as possible, which is what this podcast is about.
Yeah, no, I'm not faulting you. You're feeling guilty. You're self guilty. He's telling me I'm not.
No, I'm like feeling bad. I was like,
I'm not stealing his land. I'm just
like asking.
Want to see how does it grow?
But it's like, you know, you can all have the same recipe, but it's not the same cook.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those situations where it's like, you know, you got to just like take it one day at a time and really talk vague.
Really talk vague. You do a good job of that. Is it just a lot of practice?
No, I just do it on purpose just to see how far you dig. Because as you're observing me, I'm observing you.
Duh. How am I doing? How's the digging?
You're doing good.
Okay.
You got 1 foot.
I got 1 foot.
1 foot.
Because you're doing great at vaguing. Sure. You're like, yeah, man, I learned so much from Ben Stiller. And I'm like, what'd you learn? You're like, you know, just movies. And he's just Ben, you know, and then more movies. And he's a guy. And I'm like, oh, you worked with him for $90 million.
He's been Ben.
Yeah, but you mean, you said.
Because that Ben happened. Do you get it?
Ben happened.
So what happens when it Ben happened, you got to move forward to the future.
Oh, but you all.
What I'm saying?
But your reality is based on your previous experiences.
Yes, because that was a filter. Ben.
So what did you learn from him that now impacts what you're doing today?
That his full name is Benjamin.
Is it though?
Ben is the son of Ben, which means son. So Ben.
So is the Illuminati real?
Out of nowhere. Yo, out of nowhere. He's like, so, you want to get vague? Let's get direct.
Exactly.
What do you feel about the Illuminati?
Exactly.
I don't know. What is it? What is Illuminati? What is it like these videos on YouTube? What's Illuminati?
Well, I guess one example is having black men wear dresses.
That's
in
Illuminati?
Hollywood. That's supposed to be a part.
No, white people wear dresses too. Mr. Doubtfire and is that the Illuminati? I mean, how is that the Illuminati?
Well, the controversy allegedly.
This is what Dave Chappelle started.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, anything he says, I'm like, I'm not blindly on board, but I feel like his opinions come from
experience. I'm not knocking Dave. I'm trying to see where this come from.
Yeah, so that's the only exposure I've had to that kind of point of view of the Illuminati is having black men wear dresses. But like you said, white men as well. But it seems to be.
Well, I think it came from ancient Greece. And
the dress, like the togas?
Yeah, well, no, not the togas, but like, you know, back in the day, they would have men do plays and dresses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, your nation.
My nation.
Yeah, your bloodline.
I think I'm European. I don't know, is that Greek? Mm-hmm. Is Greek European?
Okay.
I'm not that woke.
I'm just saying, it's all the same bloodline. Different nations, it's okay. The Greeks and the Romans and the Europeans, I should say, brought that viewpoint of romanticizing Roman
right
to a theater that was theater
and now
this was derivative from the European nations. We weren't as people of different nations. Our nation was never doing that. We learned that from you guys.
Ooh.
Or the Europeans.
Savages.
I didn't say that. Once again, he said that.
I know.
You state facts, people think you're hating. That's the problem about America. You state facts and you're hating. No, you're not hating. You're stating the facts. When people just don't want to look at their ancestors in the mirror, this happened. It's not like it's like, you know, what is true. It's like, okay, we go all day with this. Like, okay, I'm not sitting here right now talking to you on a mic. You know what I mean? So when you look at it from a perspective of what's true, it's like we have these facts and artifacts that show, you know, and books of the Iliad and these these Grecian books and these different societies that learned, you know, how to do the arts and different things from their culture and was brought and mixed into different cultures.
So the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who are they? What nation are you from?
That's what I'm asking you.
I don't. I never met.
You've been in the machine. Yeah, but I never.
I never went to the Eyes Wide Shut. Like, I don't know. You know.
Oh, okay. You never went that far.
I mean, I would probably have more money. I probably would still be on the cover of lottery ticket if I. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. I don't think it's more so a scene thing. Like everyone's just like, hey. I think it's more so a thing of just understanding. Compromise and what would you do to be famous?
Mm. You know? Was there a moment like that in your career where you had to step away?
What do you mean?
Well, like Dave Chappelle's moment where he was like,
"I did
that's
it. You don't
too
see
much.
Me anymore. I'm still stepping away. You don't see me too much anymore."
But yeah, what was the moment that made you do the pivot?
Well, I just realized that you know Hollywood at this point at the time that I was in it wasn't for the melanated man. So, but now we all on TV. Remember, I was working when it wasn't hot, you know, when it wasn't cool to be, you know, I came in the middle of like, okay, all this 90s guys, and then there was like me, and then everyone else came after.
So what were you experiencing that made you feel like Hollywood was not for, as you said, the melanated man?
Yeah, because think about it, I mean, at the time,
right.
It's different now, because, I mean, everyone is like, at this point, after different TV shows, Blackish and other shows, it's cool to be a leading melanated man.
That's good.
Yeah. Now, okay. When I was
when
in,
you
it,
were in,
yeah,
it.
It wasn't like that.
So, what was it like?
It was more so you have to always be the second, the best friend. You know,
You could never lead.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. And you know now they're like they had Denzel of course and Will Smith at the time. Now it's like you have Michael B. Jordan, you have Anthony Anderson, you have more male leads, yeah. But it wasn't like that when I was working.
Did you experience like any prejudice while you were in Hollywood?
No,
or
it's not prejudice like that. It's just I think everyone's programmed to do it in a formulaic way of what they feel is safe for them.
Yeah, and predictable.
Yeah, it's safe for people who needs to feel safe. I don't know.
Yeah, because you hear the Hollywood studios almost just want to kind of reinvent the wheel every time. Whatever works, just keep doing that over and over and over again.
So the black guy next to the white guy, you know, put the black guy in the back, you know, yeah.
So what happened to make it to now it's cool for the black guy to be the lead?
Because the money. I mean, it's proven shows have been proven to work.
Oh, okay.
I guess so. I don't know. I'm not in their marketing meetings.
Well, I didn't know based on your experience, though.
No, I mean, I didn't. I haven't rode that wave. I haven't been on major network TV in a long time.
So what made you step away?
Well, I think Hollywood realized that, you know, I was more of a free thinker than a person who can just do whatever. You know? So that can scare them sometimes, I feel. That can scare people. If you have your own opinions. But that's not bad because Tyler Perry, he was a free thinker. And he was like, look, I'm just going to put these movies out. So it could be a good thing, too.
So for you, you're a little more outspoken or not as just
No, I just, push they, over? People could just tell when you're like this is like, they could feel it. People could feel when you're not happy or you're just like, this is not what I envision, you know, my image to be. So, yeah.
So you just stopped getting work? Or
no, I mean, not necessarily. No, I kind of more so turned down a lot of stuff. And because I you know, then you get labeled hard to work with when you don't want to do what they say to do.
So you got that label?
No. Oh. Now that I know about, I say you can be labeled hard to work with. Oh, and if I do have a label, it doesn't matter. They don't control my career anyways. You know, my career is this is the movie. You know, you don't have to go into film. Everyone's famous now. You got a camera. You want to be on TV? Go get your phone. You know.
Right.
So yeah,
that's the new wave too.
Is the wave
is where everybody is almost they're almost their own network now.
Yeah,
it's just what you do with that platform.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you're kind of building a whole production company.
Yeah, we're building. We're working faith-based films, Kingdom of Everything Productions. That's what we're doing.
And what it's like in 100 million homes? Is that what you?
Oh no, that's my dad's network. Yeah.
Oh, your dad's network.
Yeah, we're in 100 million homes. Yep.
And what's that one called?
Impact Network.
Impact Network.
Yes, as we're being this, as we're being probed for your CIA agents.
Are you? Do you think I'm a CIA agent?
No, I don't. I believe they watch your network. Definitely, they definitely watch your network.
You think so? Huh? Why? Why would they watch this network?
Because they would. It would make sense.
Who has time to just watch
CIA people?
Word?
Mm-hmm. Of course, easy.
Man. Do you believe in like tall grays and stuff like that?
What's that?
Aliens that are walking the earth?
Yeah, there are aliens definitely. They're yes, that's old. Everyone knows there's aliens. That's, I don't even think that's a big deal anymore.
Oh, but just there's the people that think they're actually walking the earth now, like amongst us.
Bro, I guess if you, I don't know, maybe because I read the ancient scrolls, they're all, I mean, this is nothing new like, it's all in the Bible. The Bible talks about aliens. I mean.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, read it. It talks about aliens all day.
Wow. Okay.
It's very easy. No one reads it. You just go, no one reads it.
No.
No one reads it. These are old scrolls. It's late. Y'all late with this. It's been going on.
Well, a common phrase is that history repeats itself. Mm. So what are we repeating right now?
Noah.
Word?
I think we're repeating it. As the days of Noah, so shall it be. How? As was in the days of Noah, so shall it be.
How much time do we have?
I don't know. Who knows? Ask, I don't know. Ask your listeners. Dude, they know a little bit. No,
I'm like, well, I can't really get any comedy techniques out of them. Maybe I can get the future of humanity out of them. Because you have been prophetic. You've been known to be prophetic.
How you know?
You said it in an interview.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's my mom who I was when she birthed me. You know, you gotta ask my mom who I was when she birthed me. That's the best way to find out what was she birthing out?
Yvonne?
No, my mom.
Oh, okay. I thought, is your mom's name Yvonne?
No, that's her middle name.
Oh, it's her middle name. Oh, my bad. I got her middle name. I mean, sorry, man.
I don't call it, what's my your bad? Middle name? Huh? What's your middle name?
Alexander.
Yeah, you can call somebody middle name. Yeah.
What does Alexander mean?
What interview did I say I was prophetic?
I think it was a radio interview you did. Maybe where you're talking about, oh.
Dang, you dick.
You're doing a radio interview talking about, Kingdom Cafe, but mm-hmm. you were talking about, it was around when the Starbucks thing was happening.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, I predicted this. And that you said you've been known to be prophetic.
That's my mama.
All right, I'll text her. I'll DM her.
DM her. You could hit her on Facebook. Say, who was your son? Prior to when you birthed him, what'd you see? Who did God tell you he was?
So you're, this is heavy, man.
Is it the heavy?
So you're important. Like you're here to actually.
I didn't say all that.
You're here to actually impact the world in a major way. You're chosen?
I don't know. You're all these things is you're saying these things. I have not said anything like this to you.
Oh, I know. I'm inquiring. I'm asking.
You ever seen it? You ever heard the one when Christ asked Peter? He said, "Peter, who do they say I am?" And Peter answered his question. Yeah, he answered it. He answered his own question.
Oh, so I'm the chosen one.
No, he answered the question what he was asking. And what's the chosen one? What's that mean? I'm saying, he answered the question. He said, who you say? He said, you're the son of the living God. He said, who only? I didn't tell you that. Mm. He answered, you said something that I never even said anything to you about. You said these things. I didn't say it. I didn't say, hey, guess what?
Right. You inspired me to say it.
I didn't inspire you to say nothing. I'm saying you said it.
I'm just trying not to be vague.
No, yeah. I'm saying it's not vague, it's understanding. You just said something that I never implied.
Right.
So what thought? How gave you that thought?
You being prophetic.
No, I'm saying, but you said something else, though. You said you said something about being chosen. Or mm-hmm. I never said anything like that. Those words never came out of my mouth.
But do you think we all are?
No.
No, okay.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all are Nah, we all play a part in this whole thing, but we're all aren't chosen to do something.
He said, this has been the wildest interview we've ever
you
done.
You brought this up. We were supposed to be talking about comedy.
I know.
He went into the background.
Everything, every time I asked about comedy.
He tried to do a Jedi mind trick and it went on himself. He tried to do all these Jedi mind tricks and ended up deflecting on himself.
I ended up just burying myself. Well, every time I asked about comedy.
I talked about it. Goes back. I said my techniques.
Yeah, but it's all right. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
What?
We got a lot out of this. It's good.
What do you feel? I feel good. I don't feel like I was that vague. I feel like I was I feel like I was like my comedy. I don't really have a technique. It's kind of like in me, you know.
Right.
Say what how I am. I'm just natural.
Yeah, I just figured in your career you've learned a lot of different things that people could learn from.
Yeah, I say what I learned. I say he's a great Ben Stiller's a great filmmaker, and he taught me how to make films and how to, his work ethic is great, and you know, watching him how he worked. I mean, and then you went off into I'm being vague. That's not
you
that
said
vague.
You like being vague.
No, I was making a joke because I knew you were thinking I was vague.
Oh, but were you vague?
Huh? You were thinking I was being vague. So I just, you know what I'm saying? That's what you were thinking, like he's being really vague.
See? Yo, told you. It's working. You're like, you got me. You have now completely overtaken my...
overtaken your mind?
Completely have overtaken my mind. I'm completely debilitated now. I can't even think straight.
Is it weird that I can do that? That I can show you what you're thinking?
Well,
don't
I think...
deny it.
It's not weird. It's inspiring because I feel like everyone has the ability to do it.
Not everyone.
But I feel like
everyone has the choice to make to get the ability. How about that?
So how long did it take you to actually have this ability on demand?
The Holy Spirit tells me what you're thinking. That's simple.
Okay.
I know exactly what you're thinking. I know not all the time, but when it's something I need to know, he just tells me he's thinking this. He's thinking that.
What am I thinking right now?
It doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work. It's not magic.
I'm not a magic. I'm not a magician.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ask.
Go ask your mom. You want me to ask your mom that too?
No, my mom's not a magician either. No, we're different. Magicians are just like, we don't do things for pride.
Boom.
We do things for purpose. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to get something out of me and learn something, the Holy Spirit's going to tell me what you're doing.
It's really.
I know. And so if you thought I was being vague, I knew that because the Holy Spirit told me you were doing that. This is what it is, bro. This is the realness. And you didn't tell me any of this stuff, but we got hot breath. Boom. That's why they're scared. They get scared because this is a different. It's like it's different, bro. It's that next level stuff, bro.
I feel you.
Yeah, man.
So, jeez Louise.
Why do they get so freaked out? Why? It's like there's Jedis out here, bro.
Well, I think the nucleus of it was when you brought up the CIA stuff, and then that kind of started me spinning out of control. Like, well, am I CIA, or does he think I'm? Does
no,
he
not,
think I'm
CIA
actually CIA?
People listen to your stuff.
Okay.
Whether you know it or not, they do definitely.
Well, I mean, we need all the listeners we can get.
Yes.
So we'll take it.
So shout out to you guys.
So we touch on a lot of things
dude's
here.
A conspiracy. I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
No.
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 What?
I'm so not a conspiracy theorist.
Because it's all if. Conspiracy means it's not true, I guess, right?
I don't know. I'm just not a conspiracy theorist. I don't get involved with conspiracy. I just go into like, okay, this is what it is. This was not. This was, you know, this is something that people can say, like rumors. I don't get into all the. I did a joke about guys like that. They're like, yeah, man, Illuminati, man, cut off my gas. I'm like, what? Like, people just be saying stuff, you know?
People almost look for an excuse to just not be accountable.
I think people don't see what's really going on, and they try to like blame everybody else, you know?
So what is really going on?
That's for you to find.
Oh my God.
He's like, this interview.
Yeah. You're being lazy now.
Your camera is going to just explode like in the middle of it.
You're just being lazy now. You don't want to drop any dimes on this, I guess.
No, what do you want me to say?
What is actually going on?
What do you feel? What do you feel is going? Do you feel something different than what it was like 5 years ago? Does actual energy feel different to you?
I asked you.
I mean, it's obvious if you have to ask him a question, you might feel that way.
We're wrapping up. He's just We're just going in circles right now. He's Jedi mind tricked me.
Oh, I didn't. You did
that. He flipped me.
You did it. You did it yourself. He did it himself.
It's like every time I ask something, and then it like I start to spiral into like self doubt about even bringing up a topic. I was like, what is happening? This is the most bizarre interview we've done, dude. It's so bizarre.
He tries to dig. It doesn't work with me because
I'm not trying to.
No, not in a bad way. I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm saying like I don't have any negative intent.
I don't think you do.
So what I like with this show is
I wasn't vague though. You just said I was vague. You were saying I was vague, like you were saying I was vague. So I just said it back.
Well, I was asking you. You're like, people just don't know what's actually going on. And I'm like, okay, well, what is actually going on? And then you're like, well, what do you think is actually going on? And I'm like, no, bro. I'm asking you what the fuck is going on? I don't even cuss, and you're bringing out the devil in me right
the
now.
The devil?
The devil.
Well, why am I laughing, though? Why am I laughing, though? Why am I laughing? I didn't do anything. Hot breath. This is the hot breath.
Let them know the hot breath.
I literally didn't do anything. You asked me a question. I'm saying, do you feel something's going on? You feel switching in everything. Do you feel that? You asked me. And I said, well, do you feel it? Because apparently if I'm asking you, I may feel something different. I feel like the world is in a different place. Don't you feel like it is?
Okay.
Yeah. Do you? I don't know. It's not a Jedi mind trick. I'm really trying to ask you a question. Now you're getting me. Ah! The games.
I'm finally catching on.
He's gonna go and drive reverse the whole way home. Like, I don't know what he's saying. Who am I?
Brandon T. Jackson. Brandon T. Jackson. Brandon T. Jackson. Forever.
So everything else.
Yeah.
What are we talking about now? I don't even know.
Well, we went all the way to people just don't know what's going on, and then I ask you what's going on, and then 7 minutes later, we still don't know what's going on. Because
no one really knows.
So
no
you don't know.
No one really knows everything. I have a sense of, I think, what's going on in the world. I feel like evil is waxing worse and worse, and that's what happens. I mean, that's the days of Noah, so shall it be. That's what it means.
So
I said it, though.
Is there anything we can do to, like, reverse this, or...
Repent. Okay. Did it just get dark?
It started to.
But it got light. That's the thing. What's the difference these days? You don't know. Because dark is light and light is dark. No one knows. Look. Let's just snap three times if you understand what I'm saying.
It's like hypnotizing me.
He's like, ah! Breaking through the matrix of the mind. Bro, this is hilarious. It's actually funny because you tried to probe me, and now I'm all up in your mind.
But I
tap dancing. I'm all up in his mind. He'll be at home like this. There's no such thing as Illuminati.
I just
There's
wanted no to talk such about thing comedy. As Illuminati. And then this guy's.
No, you got deep. You asked me these deep questions. You went into.
Well, you were being vague about comedy, so I was like, all right, is the Illuminati real or not?
What?
Are we all dying or not? Is the world ending? Is it a lost cause?
Is it just beginning? Yeah.
Man, let's get out of here.
He's so depressed.
I'm happy. I'm depleted right now.
I'm so happy. This is the greatest interview I've ever had in my life.
Is that true?
One of them.
Wow.
Because I've never seen anything this bizarre. But it was fun, though. It was supposed to be for comedy.
It was fun. Yeah.
It was going to be like, what is this interview about?
But I don't even know.
That's what's going to make it good.
I had a whole roadmap, and then I'm like, I don't even know.
We talked comedy, bro.
We did.
You just said I was vague in my head, and I repeated it. In your head, you was like, oh, he's being real vague. That's what your spirit was saying.
But then that convinced me that you were being vague instead of just being confident in my questions. I should have just kept going.
No, you were vague. You were saying that before. I just repeated what you said, and it freaked you out.
Can you take a picture of us? Let's get out of here.
He's so stressed out. Yo.
No, we got what we needed, though.
You got so much.
We got a lot.
This is one of the funnest interviews I've ever had. Why do you seem so stressed?
No, I'm excited now. Please, build it back up.
Don't be stressed.
So it was, you said this is the most fun interview
one
you've ever had.
Yes. I look mad. I'm not mad, am I?
I'm not mad either. I'm just like, I'm exhausted. I'm not mad, I'm exhausted.
I'm getting more energy.
I know, because you're taking it from me.
What am I doing?
No, this was good.
Shang Tsung. Remember Shang Tsung from Mortal Kombat?
Oh, No.
Oh my goodness.
So
Sing Song wins.
So yeah. I mean, before we get out of here, is there anything else you want the world to know?
Kingdom of Everything Productions coming soon. Kingdom of Everything. We're doing movies that are going to inspire the world and have them feel exhausted like you. No, it's
faith-based.
Yeah. Inspirational, faith-based. Everything's going to be things that's going to, you know, be a light in the dark place right now. I think we need some positivity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to be a part of that positivity.
Please,
in the way
man.
I can, man.
I feel great. I know you're confused.
I'm not confused. Tell me I'm confused. Okay. I'm not confused. I am totally in control and comfortable right now. I'm not uncomfortable at all.
Well, I know. Okay, how about this? Okay. I know you're comfortable, and when you get home,
okay.
You're gonna have two dreams.
Okay.
And some of the stuff will make sense, in why this interview was so bizarre.
I'm gonna have two dreams tonight.
Yes.
That explain what happened here.
Not fully. It's not going to explain what happened, but it'll confirm that what we did tonight is everything that you were trying to probe. And everything will be confirmed in your way of going, why do I feel so like, after this interview?
Well, I like you mentioning bringing positivity back to the world. Is there anything listeners or viewers, is there something that they can do to help start to bring that positivity back?
Honestly, I think you need to search the truth and see what the truth is for you, and then question that, and then go back and research more, and then keep digging. Because I think everyone finds what their truth is in their hearts and in their souls, and I think that there's only one truth, but it's up to the person to find that one truth.
Do you have any tips on finding the truth? Like researching it, you said.
Yeah, there was an old book back in the day that we used to read in humanity. You know, some scrolls that were taken from ancient people like myself. They were called prophets, you know.
Gotcha. So, okay.
The Book of the Prophets, they talk about those things. And I think we're getting back to that. I think it's about that time where people are going to either like just say it's fully BS or it's fully real. Boom. We're going to really see if it's real or it's fake.
Tonight, I dream.
Not tonight. You're going to see some things.
I'm going to see tonight when I dream.
You're going to have some bizarre dreams tonight. But it's going to be good for you. You'll understand how it works.
Man, I got to tell you what. The fact you're even willing to sit down and do this interview.
This is the best interview I've ever had in my life. This is one of the best interviews. One of, not the.
Can you say Hot Breath is one of the best interviews I've ever had?
Oh, this was definitely Hot Breath. This was some hot breath. Hot Breath was one of the best interviews I've ever had. Shout out. We're here relaxed right now. We haven't smoked no weed.
No.
And we feel like, high.
I feel
high right now.
I feel it too, man.
You feel that feeling? I feel like we're just on a cloud and we have not smoked nothing.
Oh my gosh. You described it perfectly, actually. Woo.
Not a smoke nothing. Oh. <thank you. laughs> Not us.
Not
that's probably contact.
Yeah. I'd be asleep if it was contact. It'd be game over for me. Well, yeah, thanks for taking the time to do this.
Let me know when you have those dreams. Call me and let me know.
Boom. All right. Brandon T. Jackson, thanks for being on Hot Breath.
Thank you, bro. Thanks for having me. Hot Breath.
Oh, my gosh.
Love y'all. He's so stressed out.
So much. Yo, I am still recovering from that interview a little bit, but he did not get the best of me, okay? It was a well-fought battle, and I think in the end, we got what we needed out of it, which is a one-of-a-kind interview with a one-of-a-kind talent that I think we have not heard the last of. So shout out to Marlon Ballard, a former Hot Brother, and he was episode number 121 here on the podcast for making the connection with Brandon and vouching for us and letting us know, hey, this is a legit podcast with a legit interview. So if you found this to be legit, hey, we have a legit store where we are selling legit Hot Breath merch. We got shirts and socks and hoodies, oh my, stickers. So If you want to support the Hot Breathiverse and get your own hot breath gear like I wear in the interviews and be a part of the whole movement, hey, it'll be linked in the show notes. And I also am starting to teach some comedy classes here in Atlanta. So if you're based out of Atlanta and you want to join the comedy game, holla at your boy and let's work together. I'm also teaching podcast workshops as well. So, you know, I grew up in a house of educators and now I'm taking that genetic trait and applying it to my passions, which are comedy and podcasting. So I'm happy to help you. However, whoever you are, wherever you are, I also do Skype sessions and things like that if you're trying to up your writing game or write new clean material or whatnot. But my whole mission with this podcast is just to help comedians get better at comedy faster and also give comedy fans a behind-the-scenes look at the craft and all the work that goes into it. So if you found that you enjoyed that and got that experience out of this episode, all you got to do, just tell other people. And most importantly, hit up Brandon T. Jackson on social media and let him know how dope this interview was. I cannot tell you how far that goes and letting other people know the credibility of what we're building here. My mission here is to build an actual comedy network, a new platform for comedians to connect with each other and fans seamlessly. So you listening to this means you're a part of it. So you got some responsibility, all right? Yeah, you're a hot brethren and hot sisterin. So that's what we doing. And I wanted to use this outro to especially announce the launch of our website. Yes, 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 yes. The special news is hotbreathpodcast.com is live. People, you can get on there, check out all the episodes. You can get on there, you can get merch, you can get on there. We've got blogs. It's all coming together. And I felt like with a guest like Brandon T. Jackson, it was only right to release this secret information. It's been months in the working, and now it is officially here. So congratulations to you. Congratulations to us as a comedy network. We made it. So head on over. It'll be linked in the show notes. Head on over to hotbreathpodcast.com. Check it out. Hit us up on social media at hotbreathpod or at Joel Byers Comedy. JoelByersComedy.com. You can also get more info about my classes and such. But just reach out to me directly, joelbyerscomedy@gmail.com. And let's connect. Let's work. Let's help each other. We got a Facebook group called the Hot Breath Comedy Network, where listeners are on there connecting with each other and sharing insights and advice and tips. And it's a community. So thank you for being a part of it. Still in the early stages of this, we are merely crawling at the running we're going to be doing and the impact we're going to make. And you are a part of it. And I cannot thank you enough. So get out there. Keep grinding comics. It ain't easy, but it's worth it. And I hope this episode made it a little easier for you. But ain't nothing to it but to do it. So until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.